I feel that my work was betrayed.
Who have all the fury which Didier Drogba is directing at the referee now.
There obviously seem to be a palpable discord between manager and players.
Hello and welcome back to Palpable Discord, the Chelsea podcast. I'm your host, Jack Rathbourne. I'm joined as always by Grant James and Will Dubay. We're talking through the 0-0 draw at Stamford Bridge against Tottenham from Sunday, and we'll be taking a look ahead to the trip in the Champions League to Sevilla, which will decide the group stage winners more likely. So we'll start with the London derby, a 0-0 draw, Grant. How did you see the performance, first and foremost? And at the end of it, contrary to what Mourinho said about who was happier with the result, is it fair to say that Spurs were definitely happier and for Chelsea it was maybe a missed opportunity, given how the game unfolded?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the objectives of the two teams, Spurs seemingly achieved theirs to get a point, and Chelsea didn't win, which was clearly the objective, and therefore got a worse result than Spurs, I'd say. I think Lampard summed it up well, saying we played with the handbrake a little bit on, which is, you know, something he borrowed from Arsene Wenger, clearly. I think as well the timing of the game can dictate the approach slightly. So when we played Man United a couple of weeks back, they'd just beaten PSG away, and we came in very cautiously, having been sort of forewarned about their counter-attacking threat. And I think the same happened with Spurs, having beaten City last week. I think we played them at a different time. Our approach may have been slightly different, and that may have led to a different result. We may have been beaten by counter-attacks, or we may have actually, you know, slightly gone forward a bit more and actually won the game. But I think, I think the first 30 minutes, Spurs were the better side for me. They had two decent chances with Bergwijn and Aurier having the shots. But then I think as the half went on, we started growing into it. And I think by full time, I think it'd be hard not to be pretty disappointed we didn't win the game, even if you can logically talk yourself into thinking, you know, a home draw is not a bad result against a potential title rival. But I'm a bit calmer a day later, but having watched the game yesterday, I was really frustrated with our performance against that low block, that we didn't have better answers and that our attacking players hadn't shown up better. So for me, it's a disappointing result, not just because Spurs are a rival and because I can't think rationally with them, but I just think if you're drawing 0-0 at home, you can't exactly say it's a great result when Spurs aren't definitely title contenders. They've just kind of played well in the last few weeks and they have very good players. But I think the Man City game sort of vexed us a bit and dictated Lampard's approach in many ways.
Yeah, there's an argument, isn't there, that Lampard is a bit more streetwise than Guardiola was a week ago and didn't fall for the same traps and therefore nullified the possibility of a Spurs sort of hit and run. But yeah, if you had said to us beforehand that Son and Harry Kane would be pretty much not non-factors, I think you'd really expect Chelsea to ram home that advantage and build on a pretty stout defensive display and get the 3 points. Likewise, I thought Ndombele, I think he's very neat and tidy in possession. Thought it was another good game from a player that's resurgent under Mourinho, which nobody really thought was possible a few months ago. But still, it wasn't a game-winning performance. And then the fourth member of that front four was Bergwijn, who, I don't know about you guys, but I feel very underwhelmed whenever I watch him play. I think he's erratic in the final third. He seems to waste big chances whenever he steps up, certainly against Chelsea a few times. So yeah, I thought that the base of that midfield was pretty solid. I thought they did a good job. Højbjerg and Sissoko, Aurier as well, pretty reliable for the most part, despite that little bit of a mad moment where sort of Werner cut in from the left and scored, but it was offside. So yeah, Will, what did you think about the way the game was set up? I mean, Frank obviously went with Tammy again and Werner from the left, Ziyech from the right. And then, as we predicted, he blocked out that midfield with Mount and Kovacic, Kante. I thought that was a really good base to build on. And I think, as you saw over the 90 minutes, Chelsea certainly had the better chances. I mean, concluded with Giroud in the final minute. Maybe he really should have scored that chance where Lloris was off his line and just didn't get enough on it. But yeah, according to how you saw it, how did you see his initial selection? And then as the game developed, it felt like maybe he waited slightly too long to force home the advantage.
Yeah, possibly. I think we maybe could have changed it a bit quicker. I think we controlled the game really well. I agree with Grant. I think they only really had sort of the first 20 minutes, half an hour, where they maybe edged it. They had a couple of shots. But beyond that, you have to be really impressed with the way that we controlled their counterattacks, which was obviously such an issue for City a few weeks ago. So I think we can take, again, loads of positives defensively. I think, you know, it wouldn't be a difficult argument to make that we look like the best defensive team in the league at the moment. So that's obviously something that's great to build on, and in sharp contrast to some of the issues we had last season and also some of the issues we had at the start of the season before Frank had a full squad to pick from. I think we were just a little bit predictable in our approach to breaking down that kind of deep block. I think it was obviously, it seemed to gravitate more towards the flanks naturally, with Spurs probably, you know, funneling our play down the flanks. And I think we were pretty poor with our quality of delivery from there. I think Ziyech on the whole was probably his least impressive game. Chilwell had a really solid game defensively, but didn't offer a great deal going forward. And Reece put in a couple of really nice balls, but I don't think either of those chances that he put in for Tammy were really good chances. They were kind of half chances that Tammy probably should have done better with, but I don't think you're expecting him to score from them. I think the one chance that was actually a pretty good chance was the one where Tammy sort of fell over and I think went with his wrong foot. But generally, we on another day, you know, we might have won that game with a bit of individual quality in the final third. I think Frank alluded to that in his press conference or his interview after the game. And it was just one of those where no one in attacking sense was really on it for us. We maybe could have been a little bit braver. I think we were trying to play through the middle a little bit more incisively, a little bit braver, turning on the ball quickly, looking forward through the middle of the pitch in the second half. But it was probably a little too late. But on another day, I think we win that game. And I think maybe later in the season, once players are a little bit more used to playing with each other in the final third, we win that game. But I took a lot of positives from it. Again, defensively, I thought we looked really, really strong defensively. And for me, something to build on. I think sooner or later, we're going to have to win one of these big games this season. You can't put yourself in the title equation unless you win the odd big game. So I think we something to aim for. But for now, I think it's a good result in the end. And I think Hasselbank alluded to it on the TV. We now need to try and go on another winning run. And I don't think it's long now until we play City. So correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know. I think we've got City relatively soon. So that's the next sort of big game. And we've got a target to come away from that as winners.
Yeah, you're right. So it's a pretty tasty run of fixtures coming up after Sevilla midweek. We've got Leeds, who have looked pretty good, especially in the games against the better teams, and the dead rubber against Krasnodar. But then Everton away, Wolves away, West Ham at home, Arsenal away, Villa at home just after Boxing Day, and then Man City at home on the 2nd of January. So, yeah, pretty tricky run, actually, if you look at it. I think you see Chelsea at the moment 2 points off top spot. I think that's not a bad situation. I mean, Leicester losing to Fulham tonight, so that just keeps Chelsea as that third team in behind Liverpool and Spurs. One thing I did want to touch on, Grant, was that I looked at the benches on Sunday, and I mean, Spurs also should be pretty, they should be admiring the fact that Mourinho has built a pretty impressive squad. But the fact that Callum Hudson-Odoi wasn't in the squad, and then you had a full bench of Kepa, Antonio Rudiger, Jorginho, Pulisic, Giroud, Azpilicueta and Havertz. I mean, that's a formidable squad. Do you see that as also another reason why Frank should be really optimistic heading into this run of games? Because everybody, even though that's a tough run of games, as I've just outlined, everybody is going to have a tricky run over this next month or so because of the fact that you're going to get some tired legs after this ridiculous schedule that everybody's experiencing. So really, does it matter how tough this run of fixtures are? Because the best team at the end of this is going to be the one that manages the rotation, probably, rather than isolating individual games and looking at it as a, that's winnable, that's 3 points, that's 3 points. It probably won't play out like that, and it will rely a lot on Lampard and other managers making sure those 14th, 15th, 16th player in the squad is motivated and able to come up with maybe one moment of brilliance over this next month.
Yeah, we had a good bench. I mean, if you look, Havertz, Giroud and Pulisic, but the three of them haven't really played much football in the last month, and Pulisic has looked quite rusty even since he's come back at the start of the season. Right before he got injured again, he looked quite sharp away at Krasnodar off the bench, but he looked rusty coming on. Havertz hasn't played much because of COVID, and he only got a few minutes in this match. And Giroud also hasn't played a lot of games, so I didn't feel like we really had that. The game-changing options weren't as strong as you'd sort of think. And I think it was crying out for someone like Havertz, because Spurs were so comfortable centrally that someone who can play between the lines like him, especially with Ziyech having a really off game, just all his execution of his big diagonals and his crosses, everything just was not coming off. I thought that change could have happened a bit earlier. And not only that, but if with all the crosses we're putting into the box, I think most of us, when we saw sort of Tammy struggle to convert a few of those, that Giroud would have been maybe a little bit more adept at that. He's so good in the air, and Abraham's almost like I think I've seen him described as a small striker in a big striker's body. And having Havertz come on as well as an extra aerial target would have made sense. And then obviously I don't think we got any crosses into the box once Giroud was even on the pitch. It's a real pity we didn't quite make the most of what we had to actually turn the game. And yeah, it's no surprise to see Hudson-Odoi left out just because of bench composition reasons. It's difficult to accommodate two wingers, a striker, and a number 10 on the bench when you only have six outfielders. So that's not really a shock, but you do feel like with his match fitness and he scored in the week, he could have been maybe a bit more of a reliable impact player. And I think also, I don't think our attack really functioned particularly well. I mean, I was watching the first half. Abraham dropped off quite a few times short for the ball, and Spurs the centre-backs didn't really come with him. I think you'd seen City's two central defenders jump up at the same time and get caught with that ball over the top. So, maybe Mourinho's kind of emphasised that we have these runners in behind, like Werner, don't get drawn to Tammy. But we didn't really use his feet much. And Werner, the ball's going to Chaw so often, and Spurs, actually funneling us that side so much, that Werner was so involved in the build-up play that so much just went to him and died. I mean, the build-up is really not his strength. The final actions, he's suddenly just like generally an amazing finisher besides some recent misses. He's great at winning penalties. He put in the very good cross for Abraham in the second half, which he probably should have converted. But when he's actually in the build-up phase, so much breaks down there, especially against such physical opponents like Aurier and Sissoko. I just felt like we needed to try something different. And I think it was sort of discussed on Twitter, but in the second half, with the fullbacks getting forward more, Ziyech could come inside, and that sort of morphs us into a bit of a diamond shape. And that worked well because Kovacic in the first half was kind of clogging up the wide play on the right, and with Ziyech actually moving in front of him and it's slightly more spread on the sides with Mount and Kovacic, I thought it worked nicely. And then obviously Werner's just out of the way and just there for the final actions. So something more inventive like that could have led to the winner. But it did feel much like Chelsea didn't really play, they did play to beat Spurs, but they also played just not to beat themselves. And I mean, that's what it would have taken probably for Spurs to win the game, is Chelsea just to throw it away like Zuma almost did. So I completely get that approach. I do feel some regret that even another 10 or 15 minutes for Havertz or Giroud, and just having them on the field for those crosses would have given us a good chance to break Spurs down.
Yeah, I think you're right. In terms of that shape change when Havertz came on, I thought it was encouraging that he showed for the ball. He was able to link quite nicely. And I think at times, I thought you saw Chelsea clearly move it much quicker than Spurs. And I think that is a really positive sign under Lampard, because I mean, it is in these big games where he has to prove himself really as a manager, I think, because the talent alone should be able to take care of half of this league. I think it's a pretty average Premier League beyond the top five, six teams. And I think the talent that Chelsea have acquired and the depth should be enough. I mean, certainly if five subs comes into it. So in these big games, it's nice to see that even though the result didn't go Chelsea's way, that they are starting to move the ball well. The patterns of play are starting to click with a lot of these players. So I think that's encouraging. The only thing I wanted to get Will on is the dynamic of the front three, because it's very nice moving side to side. And that is something where Lampard experienced difficulty last season in terms of the speed of play and the patterns to switch. But once it was in that final third, Will, how did you see the way that Chelsea were creating chances? Obviously, Grant's talked about James getting some nice swerve on the ball, some zip into the channel between the six-yard box and the penalty spot. And is that Tammy's game? Did he thrive enough from the service, or could he be a little bit disappointed? I mean, factoring in the fact that Ziyech was a little bit off colour, how did you see the way that Chelsea handled that possession in the final third?
I think I sort of touched on it a little bit. I think we were just a little bit too predictable and not brave enough to play through the middle. I think we were, like Grant said, a little bit afraid to, you know, beat ourselves. And you turn the ball over in the middle of the pitch and they can break on you through the middle. It's more dangerous. So I think, you know, we tried to move the ball wide, switch it quickly and get deliveries in the box. But no one was really firing. The deliveries weren't good. Ziyech, like I said, probably the poorest he's played for us so far. And I just think that Pulisic coming back into the equation will be massive, because we don't really have a player at the moment who can take the ball in a tight area, turn, take one or two players out of the game where they're running, they're dribbling. And I think really the only player that sort of does that at the moment is Mount. And it's not really his game, but he can, through the middle of the pitch, sometimes he can get a mismatch with a more kind of cumbersome holding midfielder. I think that was probably the closest we went to scoring was his shot, where it was actually a really good save from Lloris. I think Pulisic, in that sort of situation, where a lot of the time the best way to break a team down is by using the whip, getting crosses in, switching the play, moving the ball really quickly. But sometimes you just need an individual player to take the ball on the edge of the box, get in the box, draw a foul, pull players out of position. It can turn sometimes into quite an easy way to defend if you're just moving it side to side. And as a block, you can just move side to side and then just wait for the cross to come in. If you're aggressive and you've got your shape right, more often than not, you can defend it. So I think really it was crying out for Pulisic or Callum. That sort of game. And I think just for the composition of the attack, to answer your question, I think Pulisic or Callum for me gives you, you know, it solves another problem in that they can come up with something, that bit of magic. Like Grant said, Werner's just not, doesn't contribute in the build up really at all. You want him on the end of things. And I think Ziyech provides a completely different option on the other side, and I think his place in the team would probably be pretty secure. And then up front, you've got three different options there. I think Werner is still can be useful through the middle in certain games where teams play high lines. We saw him have quite a lot of success with Southampton and Brighton in the first game of the season. So who knows, maybe he'll be playing through the middle against Leeds. But to be honest, I think Tammy gives you that threat through the middle, running in behind, and he also gives you way more linking the play, building the play than Werner does at the moment. So I'd still go with Tammy through the middle. I think he came in for a lot of criticism for some of those chances. But like I say, I think really Giroud probably would have done better with some of those headed chances, but that's because Giroud's one of the best centre forwards in the league at heading the ball and attacking crosses. Tammy's still not great at that. He's still pretty slight. He still gets, you know, he sometimes gets a bit manhandled at crosses. And as Grant said, and I think Chelsea Youth on Twitter has mentioned this before, that he's really a smaller striker playing in a big striker's body. He started the last 18 months to use his body a lot better and his physicality a lot better. But really that's not really his game, and he's actually much better with his feet than he's given credit for. So I expect him to start against Leeds, and I expect him to score against Leeds, and I think everyone will eat a bit of humble pie, and everyone will be back to praising him. I think Twitter is such a fickle place for football fans, and I think Tammy will be fine. And I think, to be honest, I think I, at the moment I'm slightly more concerned by Werner, but I think Werner will adjust and he'll get used to it. I think he's still adjusting to the pace and the physicality of the league, but there's times where Werner really, really is struggling in the build-up phase. And if he's not scoring, then what is he really contributing to the team? I'm not really sure.
Interesting you mentioned Leeds there, Will. That's moving slightly ahead, because there is it's a pretty big game actually on Wednesday, and a bit of a yardstick as to where this Chelsea team are in Europe with the trip to Sevilla. I mean, how important is this game, Grant, in terms of, obviously the both teams are through, but would you see this as a chance to get right? Because obviously at Stamford Bridge it was a bit of a non-affair, and Sevilla actually, I thought, shaded it almost. Sevilla away, I mean, they're a last 16 calibre team, potentially a last 8 calibre team based on their form in Europe over the last 6-7 months. Obviously they took care of United, and I think they were pretty impressive in that runner from the quarterfinals onwards. So how would you like Lampard to approach this one, in terms of, obviously we've mentioned the squad rotation, but it's a chance, like we said, to get one of those signature wins in the big game. So yeah, there's a big game on the weekend against Leeds, and the title race can't be underestimated, but this is a rare chance to sort of pick up some confidence ahead of that last 16, which, let's not forget, it could be a really tough tie. So Chelsea need some sort of confidence going into that against a quality outfit like Sevilla.
Yeah, you guys spoke about the possible permutations in the knockout rounds, and listening to that and actually having that sort of put as plainly as you guys did, it shows how important the game against Sevilla is. And with the way it obviously works with head-to-head, we only need a draw away to keep the group as it is with us. And yeah, I'm the same point as Sevilla, but with Krasnodar at home to play in the final game to top the group. So yeah, I would say it's a massive game. Not that there wouldn't possibly be some rotation because of the schedule, but as with any week with Champions League football, it seems like it's going to be Thiago Silva either against Sevilla or against Leeds. And even Sevilla is probably a slight question because of the turnaround time. So, you know, even if you wanted to preemptively rest him for Leeds, you might have to rest him anyway because he's still carrying some fatigue from the last match. It's quite a tough choice to actually decide which one to play him in. I'm inclined to say that I would play him against Leeds, and I'd play possibly play a fairly defensive setup for the Sevilla game. As you know, as I say, we can draw 0-0 there, and I think we defended pretty comfortably in the home game, even though we struggled a bit to actually retrieve the ball high up the pitch and create a great deal of threat ourselves. So yeah, I would set up pretty defensively, and I'd probably play Werner as a 9 in this game away from home. I think it's this type of thing really suits him. You know, if we go to City or to Anfield or this type of game in the Champions League, you know, him as the striker and just sort of sitting back and just hitting him to relieve pressure, I think that works nicely. It's a massive game, and I think if you actually see how we played against Spurs in the first game against Sevilla and the United game, obviously keeping clean sheets and all of those, I think there's quite a lot of optimism to be had about our chances of doing well in Europe, because, yeah, against a Bayern or something, they have the quality to break us down regardless. But, you know, most sides are not going to be a great deal better than Spurs at sort of playing on the counter-attack. And I think if we can be that good at counter-pressing and rest defence and not giving chances away, then I think we can go to some of these tough away grounds and, you know, nick a 1-0 or 0-0 draw in a two-legged affair, and then come back to the, you know, tight Stamford Bridge and beat teams of our quality. So yeah, I'd go quite defensively, and I'm sure we'll touch on the lineup. But while you guys are discussing, I'll actually work up mine out in my head. But I would be happy to go and play for 0-0. And there's no real emphasis for us to need to actually have the ball like there was at Stamford Bridge, where we felt some need to try and, you know, try and press high, and then we got played around a few times. On the road, as we did against Rennes away, we can pretty much let them have the ball and play on the break. And I'm pretty optimistic we can at least get the, you know, 0-0 or 1-1 draw at the minimum and top the group. Well, we still have to be crowned at all, but be in a position to top the group going into match week 6.
Yeah, that's right. Will, do you have any immediate thoughts on the 11? How we set up? I mean, I agree with Grant. I think this is a game for Werner as a number nine.
Yeah, I'd give him a chance through the middle. I think Grant's made a good case for this game to play him through the middle, and I think with the five subs, you can look to give Giroud some minutes again in the latter stages of the game, maybe, or whatever. But I wouldn't worry too much about that. I think I would go pretty strong and look to take players off depending on the game situation. So, yeah, I wouldn't rotate too much. But there's clearly obvious areas where we're really deep and we can rotate. So, obviously, Mendy in goal. Aspie comes in. I thought Aspie was really good the other day when he came in. Looked like he'd been playing every week. He's obviously just keeping himself super sharp and fit. So Aspie, I'd stick with Zuma. Doesn't look like he needs a rest. Rudiger, and then obviously Thiago Silva coming at the weekend. Chilwell, I'd play him again. Just don't think there's good enough options to come in at the left back. I don't want to see Emerson playing. And then I'd bring Havertz in for Kovacic. I'd start Kante and Mount again. So I would go pretty strong. And then I'd play Ziyech from the start again. Werner through the middle. And I'd give Callum a start because he was good last week in the Champions League. And I think you need that if we're going to be playing on the break. It's a good threat to have. I think Pulisic, maybe it's a little bit too early to start. But hopefully he can feature as a sub. Maybe for Callum or Ziyech later on in the game. So yeah, that'd be my team. I'd go pretty strong and then look to play on the break. Like you said, they're very good at dominating possession, dominating the ball. Let them have the ball.
Yeah, I like your team, Will. I think I'd go with a very similar looking team. I'd go with James and Azpilicueta, though. I think Chilwell, I'm a bit worried about his body breaking down. I think there are early signs that he does need to be managed. And then I'd look at Hudson-Odoi from the left as well. I think he deserves the spot, as you outlined. And then Ziyech can tuck in from the right. And then Werner just sort of playing slightly deeper, but looking to spring a counter-attack. And then in the middle, I know you guys hate him, but I think Jorginho will come in. I think this is a natural game for him if we are going to sit deep. I mean, I'd look to include Kante and Mount just to sort of tuck in alongside him. And I think that's a team which can absorb a lot of pressure, can attack on the break, and I think can be pretty smart in possession as well if Sevilla opt to flip the script a little bit. So, yeah, my team in full would probably be Mendy, James, Rudiger, Zuma, Azpilicueta, Kante, Jorginho, Mount, and then I'd have Ziyech on the right, Werner through the middle, and then Hudson-Odoi from the left.
You might have a good point on Chilwell, especially after the ankle twist over the weekend. I just, I'm kind of inclined to think we might play a back three in this game, or that it might actually work well. Especially with Thiago Silva missing, it just gives a little bit more protection in the middle of the defence. So if we went sort of Azpilicueta, Zuma and Rudiger, everyone's pretty comfortable like that. And I think that back three actually works well with Zuma in the middle. I think I'd go James and Chilwell just because Alonso's so far down the pecking order and Emerson is, he's good for those like Rafa winner 10 minutes run outs at the end. So I'd probably have to go with Chilwell, but obviously with the 12 subs, we at least have both our left backs probably on the bench, the backups. So one of them can come on if we need to get Chilwell off the pitch. I think I'd probably go Kante and Jorginho, possibly deeper, just give Kovacic a break to freshen things up. And then I think in attack, I'd have probably Mount and Havertz or Werner, just to give a break to Ziyech. But I'd be okay with sort of Ziyech playing and Havertz being on the bench, getting a sub run out again. But I think Mount, you have to play in this sort of game. He's just so perfect to actually play in a, you know, sort of like a back-to-the-wall effort with his work rate and dropping into that midfield. The back three had worked quite well because the way Sevilla actually played in that game at Stamford Bridge with Jesus Navas on the right and Acuna on the left, they play so high up. They're almost like wing-backs. So it actually gives James and Chilwell a chance to actually go and engage them. And then their front three plays pretty narrow anyway with Suso and Ocampos sort of playing, you know, just in between, like in the half spaces. So I think our side centre-backs can deal with that well. And I think that's pretty well set up just to, back to the wall and, you know, hit Werner on the break pretty often. You've got the outboards of the wing backs, and I think that's how I'd set up. And then Thiago Silva, you've got fresh for the weekend. Possibly Kovacic comes in. Ziyech comes in again if you've left him out. You've got Tammy possibly. And then maybe if Chilwell's really at breaking point, you maybe leave him out and and play SP left back against Leeds. I think that could be okay. They've got a couple of left-footed right wingers, depending on who they select. So maybe SP can deal with that. Yeah, I think that's how it's set up.
Yeah, I think that's a really nice few points on Sevilla, Grant. I'm actually looking forward to seeing how Werner, Tammy, whoever comes up against Koundé. I think he's an exciting defender, and he wasn't involved at Stamford Bridge. So that will be a test for Chelsea, and I think all round it will be a test, and it will be interesting to see how Lampard handles it. He's growing as a manager, and I think despite the slight tinge of disappointment, I think it showed a lot of maturity in his performance as a manager against Tottenham to not fall into Mourinho's traps. So I think that'll be interesting. I mean, we're looking at the Leicester-Fulham game to sort of keep Chelsea in third position. They're currently losing 2-1 to Fulham in stoppage time. So another positive result for Chelsea there. We'll be back later in the week to wrap up the Sevilla game, look ahead to Leeds, and obviously maybe preview the Christmas schedule. I mean, we'll have the FA Cup draw and the opponents in that third round as well. So lots to look forward to, and I think it's exciting times, and I think this team is just scratching the surface. So if you like the pod, give us a follow on social media at Palpable Pod, and you can support the show by giving us a 5-star review, if you will. Share it with your friends, and get in touch with us on social media. Ask us any questions. We'll be happy to read them out. So until next time, I've been your host, Jack Rathbone. Thanks again for joining me, as always, Will Dubay and Grant James. We'll be back next time.